Hello, and welcome back to Green Living Podcast. This week, I wanted to chat about slow living and eco-anxiety. If you do not know what eco-anxiety is, I'm going to break it down for you and talk about ways in which to deal with it. But first, let's talk about slow living. I have been incorporating slow living in my life the last month or so, and it is the start of 2021, so I thought if people have New Year's resolutions or intentions, they can learn about slow living. I also wanted to mention resolutions because I have been changing the way I think about them and want to call them intentions. I think how we have come to know the word resolution, it doesn't hold as much power to me as intention does. So moving forward, I'd like to talk more about intentions rather than resolutions. So on to slow living. Slow living is, in my own definition, based on what I have found, it is a focused intention on how you approach everyday tasks, your mindset, and observing your surroundings. Slow living is in reaction to the Western world, and the busier you are, the better. You are not physically moving slower if you are slow living. You are just living more intentionally. A few examples are getting lost in an art project or sitting with your morning cup of coffee or tea and just sitting, or maybe looking out the window and observing the birds or the morning mist. Slow living is you are observing little things or not so little things, and slow living, in my interpretation, is also observing how calm you are when you do an activity such as a puzzle, or how the morning dew looks on the tree outside your kitchen window. Now you might think that it is easy to live slowly and sustainably. However, I don't think those two are mutually exclusive. Even as I am learning about sustainability, there are so many aspects of it where I am not slowing down and taking a break. Now, that is my experience and not everyone's. And if you are trying to incorporate living slowly, like the example I gave about sitting with your morning coffee, you could be drinking out of a single-use coffee cup that is leaching plastic into your coffee. So that's what I mean when I say I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. So talking about being busy, I do enjoy being a little busy and being stimulated a lot, but I find that I am not able to lose myself in projects or relax as easily as I used to. Even when I try and sit down to knit or do watercolors, my mind is always somewhere else. For some, that might be fine. It might help get through writer's block, for example, by doing something different. But growing up, I used to love getting lost in art or being outside or whatever else. I am so concerned now about what time it is, what time I need to be somewhere, the time I am losing doing something else, etc. I've noticed my relationship with time has changed over the years. I think in my research and application of slow living, I have become more at peace with time. As I said, I am only a few months into learning and incorporating slow living, so I am as green as moss when it comes to actually slow living, but I figure this will be a lifelong journey and experience, and I am excited to learn what works and what doesn't work for me along the way. Let's chat about what I'm hoping for while moving towards slower living, and then chat about the steps I am taking. What I'm hoping to do, as we are still in lockdown for a little while longer, is that I want to try and create some routines and get myself into as good of a mindset as I can before we start going out again. The real test will be when I am able to socialize again and be able to see other people and make plans. Over the past few years, I have been less social than I ever have been. Even though I do love being around people, I have found the joy in being by myself doing an activity as well. So I hope to create a good mindset and groundwork for when we are able to go out again. The routines I want to work on are my morning routine, my routine when planning my day, and maybe the biggest one is a routine for when I'm getting stressed. The first one, my morning routine, I think will be the easiest to work on. The few things that are consistent in my morning routine right now are that I look at Instagram in bed, I then get up and make tea, and then check my emails and start to reply to people. And then basically my day starts right there. I'm usually still in my robe. What I would like to do is to wait to jump on my phone when I wake up, maybe just check to see if family or friends have gotten in touch while I was asleep, or just not look at my phone or computer within the first 30 minutes of waking up. The tea part is obviously my favorite part of the morning, so maybe just looking outside for a while, either going outside or just watching the snowfall or a sunrise, whatever is happening that morning. What I wish I heard more was the sound of birds in the morning. They are not always at the house, especially right now in winter. And so when they are here, I trip over myself to open a window slightly without scaring them so I can hear them. So maybe a timeline for the first 30 minutes awake are for tea, waking up, and looking outside. The second routine is planning my day. I have already changed this in a large way by changing my planner setup. I have tried to do a mixture of bullet journaling and a planner. I bought a dotted journal and have created my planner from scratch. In the past, specifically when I was in college, I was really good about having a planner, as I am a planning type of person. However, since then, I've just had random notes on pieces of paper scattered around and appointments on my phone, which has not really been working. So I have been drawing and creating each month overview, week overview, and everything is from scratch. And I do have some special pages for the podcast and planning things for the blog. I basically have always wanted one place for everything, and now is my chance to try that out. I have also been doodling and allowing my planner to be a place where I can go to do a little art in the margins. It has been a lot of work trying to figure out the layouts and everything, but it has also been a great challenge creatively and has been keeping my thoughts in one place, which has been perfect. And the last routine is more of a game plan that I want to figure out through slow living. As I read more about it, I find that a lot of hobbies and slow living activities are grounding and pretty minimalistic. So I figured having a plan of doing an activity where I can focus will help with the feeling of being overwhelmed or anxious or however I am feeling. So my thought process will be to stop, breathe, grab whatever art project is closest to me. I promised I am organized, but I have some art projects that are all over the house right now. Sit down, turn phone on airplane mode, turn music on if that will help me, and then just craft. I realize this only works at home, so I need one for when I go out. But let's be honest, I won't be going out anytime soon, so I will cross that bridge when it comes. So if you have feelings of anxiousness, you don't have to do a craft necessarily. You can do something that you like, but just making sure you stop, breathe, and make sure that you're doing something that relaxes you, even if it's just for 5 minutes. The past few years before the pandemic, I was a nonstop busy machine. I was in college, just going all the time. I commuted into school, so I was either in class, in the car, home studying, or I did have some sorority events. I never really made much time for me. My mind was always on classwork, and I genuinely mean always. I found towards the end of college, my senior year, my mind was so toxic with overthinking about assignments that I genuinely made myself take Saturdays completely off, which was kind of hard. I had to do that or I was studying 7 days a week. As I reflect, I actually wouldn't change too much about my schedule, just my mindset and giving myself a little time each day for myself. And that is my biggest hope moving forward, is that even as my calendar starts to fill up again, and I know I will try to not book myself as much as I have in the past, but my mindset is that it's more about how I approach things then. As I mentioned in the first episode, the pandemic hit me in a way that I never expected. When I saw photos taken in the ocean in April, only a month after the US shut down, of a plastic glove and masks floating, it sparked something in me that wanted to commit fully to living sustainably and learn as much as I can and to never stop learning. So on to different steps and areas that I want to focus on. The first one is going through things to simplify my life and my immediate environment. We are all living in our own ecosystems. You can think about the things around you as your soil, water, air, and sun. The soil is the food. Water is water. Air is the space around you. And the sun is potentially the actual sun or the joy and brightness that your environment gives you. Even if you prefer everything to be black or darker colors, it's not about the visual, it's about the feeling. First off, I want to do a little purge of a few areas of my life that I notice give me anxiety on a daily basis. Emails are probably the biggest mental drain that I encounter every day. I have multiple email accounts as well, so the amount of emails I get that are really not relevant and necessary are quadrupled. A lot of the companies that are emailing me now are ones from my time before making large life changes, and I just have not gotten around to unsubscribing. Or I have, and for some reason I'm still getting emails. So emails for me that are not relevant, I want to unsubscribe and delete old ones. I actually really enjoy emailing people or working with people over email with work-related stuff, but the junk mail or promotions is just too much. Next, something in my environment that I want to change is physical things. I am already planning on doing a large spring clean, passing along things that are not speaking to me anymore. And I have already been going through things and putting them in bags, so I will no longer need them. I am starting to uncover and learn more about my style and how I want a room and my house to feel. Part of slow living that I want to get to is my day isn't revolving around picking stuff up every time. I want to take a break from work or want to move around the house a bit. That is what I've been doing. I want to feel like cleaning up, picking up is a part of my day, but not what I do while I'm taking a break. So having less, I think, will help me clear my mind to actually relax. The second step that I want to focus on is limiting screen times. This one is a double-edged sword in a way because I am constantly researching things on my computer. When I record and edit my podcast, I am on the computer and I do love being on Instagram. I do a lot of research for my own personal growth for sustainability and low waste and now slow living. However, I feel like I notice more fatigue when I am looking at screens for a long period of time. Even though I am in a chair and not physically moving, my mind is overwhelmed with usually getting great information and new tips to try, but nonetheless, I'm tired, and of course, my eyes are tired. I'm not sure what was unique about this experience, but one day I was doing my usual routine between my computer and my phone screen on and off all day. And when I went to get into bed, I rubbed my eyes because I was tired and they were a little itchy. I glanced at my phone and all of a sudden my eyes were burning. I turned my screen off and closed my eyes. They were tired and they stung a little, but looking at my phone triggered them. This might have been a one-off experience, and maybe it was another trigger, such as allergies that day, but I never want to have that feeling again, so limiting my screen time is what I've decided to do. And reading before bed instead of looking at my phone is a big hurdle for me, and if you are in a similar boat where you look at your phone before bed, I suggest reading or doing some small activity in bed, such as drawing or something that doesn't require a screen. Or even if you just want to stare at a wall, whatever to calm your mind. The one rule I have for myself when choosing a nighttime book and something that I suggest to you is a book that is for pleasure. So a book that you will enjoy, not something that will stress you out. So for me personally, I read environmental books where I am learning something about the environment or something I can change, or kind of scary statistics about climate change. I try and read those books during the day as my mind is ready and willing to absorb that information. I love reading tips and tricks for sustainability. That's not what I'm saying to avoid. I just personally wouldn't read a book about why a certain species is doomed to extinction within the next 10 years and we cannot do anything about it. I think there's a time and place to read that and learn it and kind of absorb and mourn it and maybe make an action plan. But for me, that's not great right as I'm going to bed. So I try to read more novels or anything that relaxes me. So my biggest tip for limiting your screen time is to schedule it in. Make sure that maybe after 8 p.m., there are absolutely no screens that you encounter. So that might look like setting your alarm for the next morning at 7 or 8 p.m. and then just putting it on Do Not Disturb, maybe setting it on your nightside table and going about your evening, reading, crafting, doing art, whatever you choose to do. So my third step that I want to focus on for slow living are slow hobbies. So the ones I am already doing but I want to incorporate more are knitting, reading, more watercolors, and yoga. Something that I've realized about myself is that my mind runs a mile a minute. I am constantly thinking about a few things at once. The thing that I've noticed that I never really appreciated before is totally losing myself in an activity. I used to do it all the time when I was younger. And as I've gotten older, it has been harder to lose myself for an hour or two doing something. And only recently I have been able to lose myself in watercolor or knitting like I used to. I think a big contributor to this was when I was in college. As I mentioned, I was worried constantly about everything, even though I got everything done and I really worked my butt off. I was constantly thinking about schoolwork. Even when I tried to give myself a couple hours off or the whole day, I was thinking about what I needed to get done for my next day for classes. I have no plans at the moment to go back to school, but I hope if I do that I can be more relaxed about it because it completely shredded my nerves, honestly. And that is also due to my perfectionism. I was focused, but it was always on school, which is good, but I think for me it was just too much. So I'd like to focus more on the moment. So the last thing I'm focusing on for slow living is saying yes to what I really want to do and no to what is not necessary. I think that one is pretty straightforward. I hope to be able to cultivate enough confidence to say no when I have me time scheduled And maybe that's the thing to say now if you are being overwhelmed with invites or whatnot, just say, I have me time scheduled. Or if you know specifically what you are doing, you say, oh, I have tea and reading time scheduled, and actually schedule it into your planner so you make sure that that is the time for you. So what has been working well for me so far in living slower is watching and observing the wildlife. As I mentioned, I recently moved, and so I am experiencing new animals in my backyard. So quail, deer, there are wild turkeys, there are bald eagles, and there are a lot of other animals. Those are the main ones that have been brand new to me. It's been really fun to watch and observe them. And like for bald eagles, I only get a glimpse of them usually out when I'm driving or if they fly over the house. It's really important for me to really observe them in the moment because they're going to be gone the next. The next thing that has been working is taking 10 to 30 minutes a day to craft or to read, just taking a little bit of time to do something different. So something that you can just sit down to read for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, a craft project that you can easily pick up and put down, whatever works for you. And the last thing that has been working well for me is if I'm on my computer, I do like to watch YouTube videos to center myself sometimes. The main channels that I watch are LizQ, Her86M2, Fairy Tale Cottage, and Cottage Fairy. And I will leave links to them below. All of their videos are very relaxing, and I know that when I go to their channel and watch a video, it will instantly relax me and ground me. Other suggestions for slow living activities. So the first is journaling. Second is meditation. Third, puzzles. Fourth, crosswords. Fifth, sketching. Six is gardening. Seven is playing a musical instrument or learning one. Eight is writing. And the ninth is baking. And here are a couple ideas if you want to incorporate them for changing up your routine. So you can wake up earlier, maybe bake something for dinner, maybe something new once a week if you do enjoy baking. Maybe take a different running route to experience different scenery. And maybe if you eat in front of the TV, maybe eat at the table once or twice a week. And my words for 2021 that I'm taking into this new year are intention and purpose. So that is what I wanted to talk about with slow living. So shifting gears, I want to talk briefly about eco-anxiety because I personally don't feel like I see it a lot. And when I discovered that it was a term, it makes total sense. A lot of people are going through this and maybe don't know that they are. Before I continue, I want to say that I am not a psychologist or healthcare provider. This information and suggestions are from my own research and are not actual prescriptions. I don't know a lot about eco-anxiety, as I said, but I wanted to take a little overview and give some tips for people who might be struggling with it and for people who might be new to the sustainable movement and low waste and are really feeling eco-anxiety right now. So in 2017, the American Psychiatric Association, or the APA, described eco-anxiety as, quote, a chronic fear of environmental doom. The APA point out that a changing climate can affect mental health in several ways and can manifest as trauma and shock, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, aggression, reduced feeling of autonomy and control, and feelings of helplessness, fatalism, and fear. Eco-anxiety is not currently listed in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, so that means that it is not an official diagnosable condition. Most of us are in a constant 24-hour news cycle where natural disasters, environmental destruction, and climate change are being reported. Now, as with everything, people experience things differently. So someone may experience little to no anxiety about environmental damage, and some may experience extreme anxiety. Some people may experience it due to the possible loss of a job, such as fishermen or parts of the tourism industry. And of course, there are people that rely on the land for their food and or livelihood. So some suggestions are to talk to a professional or a group session. Acceptance that you have it and that you are not alone is very important. Changing your lifestyle and or get involved with activism or volunteering. Start with your relationship with nature, possibly. When was the last time you were outdoors? And I don't just mean walking down a city street to grab a cup of coffee. When were you actually outside experiencing nature last? So maybe working on that relationship, going outside more. And when you are out in nature, make sure that you take that feeling mentally with you into your everyday life. Grounding techniques might also work for some in nature. So some ideas are rubbing an anxiety rock or smooth stone. Some people carry these stones in their pockets or purses. When you're in nature, close your eyes and take a deep, long breath. Maybe just go outside and look at the clouds for a few minutes. Or go outside and feel the temperature, wind, sounds, the warmth of the sun if it's out. If it's snowing, feel the snow falling on you. And if it's raining, hear the rain. What does it smell like, etc. And one of my favorite quotes is, there's no such thing as bad weather, only unsuitable clothing. And that's from Alfred Wainwright in his 1973 book, Coast to Coast. So some other steps that you can take right now for low-waste sustainable living if you are starting out is, first, plan out what you want the first month to look like. So what swaps you want to make, information gathering, contacting people you know that live the lifestyle you want and learning from them, and maybe make a plan to go outside once a week to start off, and maybe do some of those grounding exercises. Look around in your immediate environment, and what do you see when you look? Is it over-consumerism of clothes, coffee mugs, too much stuff? Maybe not a lot of stuff, but things that do not reflect you and your goals. Maybe there's something that is broken that you haven't fixed and maybe never will. And I can't change how you consume things. That is a personal journey and mindset, but I hope to give you some tips and help you along the way. And a book that I'm reading right now incorporating soul living into my life is The Little Book of Hygge, Danish Secrets to Happy Living, and I've really enjoyed it. I actually have rented the audiobook, and I just got a secondhand copy of the physical book, so I'm really excited to finish that and start incorporating some of those practices in my life. So if you are interested in that, I will leave a link for you, and I will let you know in an upcoming podcast episode how the book is helping. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Green Living Podcast. I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Green Living Pod, on Pinterest at Green Living Podcast, and my website is greenlivingpod.com. Thank you so much for listening.